Sovereignty is a birthright. It's, you can't sell it. You can't give it away. It's something you're born with. Self-government is one choice that our people have to fully understand that that's an option still open to them.
A grassroots movement for greater self-determination is sweeping Alaska Native communities. Statehood and the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act have effectively diluted local Native governments in many villages. Alaska Natives are now reasserting their rights to self-determination in a variety of ways. This is Holding Our Ground.
Funding for Holding Our Ground is provided by the Alaska Humanities Forum, the National Endowment for the Humanities, Rural Alaska Community Action Program, the North Slope Borough, and Zients Pertl Law Firm.
Our ancestors have lived here in Alaska since from the time who knows when, thousands of years. And today we are still living on the same country, same areas, the same place where our ancestors started up. This is where we have our real sovereign power.
We believe that our sovereignty is not given to us. It is something that stems from the will of the people. And that is where we believe our power lies.
Mike Albert and Sheldon Ketchetag speak like other natives in many Alaska villages. Eskimos, Indians, and Aleuts have always considered themselves to be self-governing. Today, many layers of bureaucracy complicate life in the Alaska bush. Alaska Natives are looking at a variety of ways, including traditional governments, to regain control of their lives. They haven't forgotten that the United States and State of Alaska came to them without their consent. David Naniluk of Togiak.
We do not recognize the right of the Russian government to sell Alaska to the United States government without first asking the Native community. And we, as a Native community, have not given up our sovereignty. Our dignity has never been surrendered to the U.S. Congress or to the Russian government. And if a question is asked to the elders of all the communities within the state of Alaska about the Constitutional Convention of the State of Alaska and its adoption for its Constitution, we feel that due process was not followed at that time.
A change in statehood status is unlikely. Alaska Natives are now trying to correct what they see as problems with existing laws and trying to make sure they fully participate in the decisions. They are not alone. Judge Thomas Berger.
Native people all over the world are seeking to establish their right to self-determination and to land. Pope John Paul II, in September 1984, affirmed that Native people are entitled to take their rightful place among the peoples of the earth. The Pope also affirmed the right of Native peoples to self-determination. He said, "For you, a land base with adequate resources is also necessary for developing a viable economy for present and future generations."
The United States recognizes a government-to-government relationship with Native governments. Special rights for Native Americans are guaranteed through the Constitution, various laws, treaties, and policies. Judge Thomas Berger.
Their attempts to preserve, on their own terms and for their own purposes, a land-based culture and way of life mark Native Americans off from other minorities. No other group can assert a right to a land base and to distinct political institutions founded on the recognition of Native sovereignty.
There are over 100 traditional governments in Alaska, some without written constitutions. They have about the same powers as the IRA governments named for the Indian Reorganization Act of 1934. The IRA helped the Department of Interior formalized relations with Native governments. More than 70 IRA governments in Alaska have written constitutions and bylaws. Most of those constitutions say the tribal government has the power
to deal with the federal and territorial government on matters which interest the village, to stop any giving or taking away of village lands or other property without its consent.
Nothing in the law has denied Native sovereignty, but Alaska statehood and ANCSA, the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, have had far-reaching effects on Native governments. After the oil money started rolling into state coffers from Prudhoe Bay, villages found they were limited to small amounts of money and services from the state, unless they chartered a city government. Many villages wanted such things as electricity and better airports, so they formed second-class cities. Two governments for one community often led to conflict and confusion. Nora DeWitt of Saxman.
The state recognizes the municipality, which is the city of Saxman, but does not recognize the tribe. The federal agency recognizes the tribe, which is the organized village of Saxman, and some of these agencies recognize the corporations and give them the same status as a tribe. Now the question is, who is the tribe? A tribe has sovereignty, inherent powers, and is a recognized form of government.
The Claims Act in 1971 extinguished Aboriginal land title along with Aboriginal hunting and fishing rights. ANCSA created regional and village profit-seeking corporations to own about one-tenth of Alaska. The state and federal governments own nearly all the rest. Tribal governments got neither land nor money from the Claims Act. Many village people object to the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act because, again, they weren't consulted. Gordon Puller of Kodiak.
As the Alaska Native villages, or tribes if you wish, have and did have at the time of the passage of ANCSA a sovereign status as domestic dependent nations, it was the responsibility of the United States government to deal directly with these Native governments in negotiating any type of land claim settlement. This was not done.
Although Native governments remain intact, most have no land base. They compete with other local governments and layers of bureaucracy. Some people wonder where Native governments exert their powers. The United States Code says that tribal authority can be exerted in Indian country, which includes reservations and what the law calls domestic dependent Indian communities. Legal experts say that Alaska villages are dependent Indian communities. Some say otherwise. The law remains unclear and unchallenged. Sheldon Ketchetag of Unalakleet says the right questions haven't been asked.
It seems to me that if you want to recognize something as Indian country, you don't say, I'm a white man, this is Indian country. Okay? You say, I'm a white man. Hey, Indian, where's Indian country? And that's one thing that they've never done.
Indian reservations have boundaries that delineate the area of sovereign powers. In Alaska, there is only one reservation called Metlakatla. Most other villages that could be considered dependent Indian communities have municipal and corporation boundaries. Villagers are marking their traditional boundaries on maps, hoping to exert some control over those lands in the future. The problem is that traditional boundaries encompass most of Alaska, which the state and federal government now both claim to own. In 1983, President Ronald Reagan stated,
"The Constitution, treaties, laws, and decisions have consistently recognized a unique political relationship between Indian tribes and the United States, which this administration pledges to uphold. This administration intends to restore tribal governments to their rightful place among the governments of this nation, and to enable tribal governments, along with state and local governments, to resume control over their own affairs."
Both RA and traditional governments are federally recognized. However, the Department of Interior has so far refused to acknowledge Indian country in Alaska, except for the Metlakatla Reservation. Metlakatla is on Annette Island in southeast Alaska. Congress established a reservation there for Tsimshian Indians who had immigrated from British Columbia. Because Congress did not consider them indigenous to Alaska, they were given the option to keep their reservation or participate in AGSA. They chose their reservation. Casey Nelson.
Well, I believe that now looking at some of the results of the settlement, I still strongly believe that we made the right decision at that time.
We didn't want to.
Smith, also of Metlakatla.
From our past experience, we know that all these years we've lived pretty well off this island. Our men don't have to beg anybody to fish any place.
The Metlakatla Reservation has an exclusive fishing zone around the island. The reservation is widely known as a success, with good economic development in canneries and timber. Some non-natives live on the reservation and get state services through the tribal corporation, although non-natives do not participate directly in the tribal government. State services are also distributed to both natives and non-natives in 55 villages that have tribal governments and no city governments. The state has taken the position that all Alaskans are equal and no special recognition has been given to tribal governments. In 1983, the people of Aklak dissolved their city council and turned over those powers to the IRA government. They sent the city charter back to the state despite warnings they could jeopardize state funds.
The dissolution of the city government,
Sam George,
was an effort by the community of Akichuk as a tribe to assert its governmental authority as a tribal governmental body. The Akichuk IRA Council is beginning to pass laws to regulate the members of the community. By passing laws, the Akichuk Native community is planning to protect our land base as well as to restrict our members from selling their stocks. The Akichuk IRA Council as a governmental authority is constantly working with the state and federal officials in enhancing cooperation between our governments for the betterment of our people.
At a meeting in May of 1984, the people of Akichuk declared their intentions. IRA Council President Willie Kasaili.
We, the Yupi, having the common bond of living together in Akichuk Native community, hereby establish the declaration as sovereign nation with governmental authority over renewable and non-renewable resources within the jurisdiction of the Akichuk Native community to include allocation of land to members of the Akichuk Native community. We, the undersigned members of the Akichuk Native community, hereby resolve to declare that, one, the Yupik have never been conquered in war. Number two, the Yupik have never given up any of their lands, either by treaty and or war. Number three, the Yupik rights have never been extinguished. Number four, the Yupik have the inherent right of self-government, which has existed and still is existing since time immemorial. The Akichuk IRA Council is the sole governing authority, as implied by the Constitution and bylaws of the Akichuk Native community.
The Akiachok community wants to make contracts or agreements with the state of Alaska on hunting and fishing rights, water rights, and education. The IRA Council was also directed to meet with elders to claim jurisdiction over traditional subsistence and cultural lands and establish a tribal court.
We, the undersigned Yupik members of the Akiachok Native community, hereby affix our signatures to this declaration as sovereign nation this 18th day of May, 1984.
The city of Akiachok is still in the process of being dissolved because the state of Alaska contends it wasn't done properly. In July of 1985, the villages of Akiak, Tuluksak, and Akiachok formed what they call the Yupik Nation. The Yupik Nation has formed their own school district as a part of the state education system. In the fall of 1986, representatives of more than 50 Southwest Alaska villages will gather in Akiachok to decide if they want to form a regional native government. Yupik people in Southwest Alaska have moved toward reclaiming self-government faster than regions, but the same sentiments are shared throughout Alaska. Village lands are still held by ANCSA corporations, and unless present laws are changed, the lands could pass through corporate takeovers, bankruptcy, bad debts, and taxation. Many people favor transferring ANCSA corporation lands to IRA or traditional governments. A native government could still sell lands, but there would be no threatening lands through corporate takeover. Taxation is an open question. In theory, undeveloped lands could not be taxed by the state, but the federal government has so far been unwilling to recognize any sort of trust status that could free lands from taxes as on reservations. Gary Longley of Council.
Many villages are now beginning to think along the lines of dissolution of cities, thus allowing the IRA or traditional council to be in a position to exercise their sovereign power. It would be very difficult to exercise sovereign power over only people. Therefore, the next logical step might be to dissolve the village corporation and allow them to exercise sovereign power over not only people, but this would provide one organization power base in each village with sovereign authority over the people and, of course, the land. They would also be eligible for state and federal funding.
A variety of options would allow corporations to retain lands for development, whether they were chartered by the state or tribal government. Before ANCSA, Vinitai and four other reservations were given the option of getting title to surface and subsurface land if they did not receive cash from the settlement. Larry Williams of Vinitai.
We had a choice of whether to take the land or take the money. And the people very wisely took the land and said, we don't want no part of that money, we'd rather have the land. And that's the way it stands today. And it's up to the people and the tribal council to keep up that tradition of keeping the land as it is. And we call ourselves a sovereign people, and that's the way it should be. Because we don't have to ask anybody if we're going to hunt on our land or to get timber to build our cabins. We go out and do it without any waste. And we have our own laws that we follow that have been in existence before the white man law came into the country. And we still follow that. That's the traditional laws. It's the unwritten laws that we follow.
The people who held shares in the ANCSA corporations signed over their shares to the tribal councils, then dissolved the corporations. Vinitai is now exercising powers over water rights and oil taxation. The state of Alaska is challenging them in court. The other former reserves also turned down the cash, but they still have their ANCSA corporations. Browning Pipestem is an Oklahoma attorney who belongs to the Osage Otoa tribe. Pipestem advises Native Americans about setting up tribal governments and has served as a tribal judge. He spoke to a roundtable gathering of the Alaska Native Review Commission in 1984.
I get the distinct impression that a number of people equate the category of tribal government or native government with that conjures up a notion of some kind of a primitive, offbeat, out of step kind of government that is unsuitable in the 20th century. There are many kinds of people in Alaska. I'm talking about the tribes or the native people. 100 and some odd villages, things of that nature. There can't be one solution. And it strikes me that that's the flexibility and the beauty of this thing. And government really serves two functions. One is to provide a form of governance, and the other is to provide services. For instance, if a tribe wanted to have a borough, why they could not create a borough under tribal legislation? I see no reason why a tribe who chose to have a corporation could not create a sophisticated set of corporate structures for its own people by virtue of tribal legislation. I see no reason why a tribe who desired to have a banking system could not create a banking system under the tribe's law.
The Inupiatki of the Arctic Slope was formed as a regional IRA government in 1971, just a few months before the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act was passed. Attorney Fred Paul.
One of the great accomplishments of the area-wide IRA up on the slope, the Inupiat community of the Arctic Slope, was its efforts at protecting the land. It has brought major lawsuits for the protection of subsistence, of sovereignty, of dominion, with respect to various land problems involving the North Slope Eskimos. The opportunity for the Inupiat Eskimos to protect the land through the area-wide IRA is magnificent.
When Congress passed ANCSA in December of 1971, they allowed about one-tenth of the North Slope to be held by the Arctic Slope Regional Corporation, which was chartered under state law. That was followed by the formation of the North Slope Borough, about the size of Minnesota. In 1972, the Inupiat community of the North Slope was left with little money and little influence. The North Slope Borough is a state-chartered government and not a tribal government. It has desirable powers, according to Joe Upikson.
Under the borough concept, the four powers were, one, that we had the power of taxation. Secondly, we had the responsibility of an independent school district with our own school board elected by our own citizens of the North Slope Borough. Thirdly, it gave us the power of planning, and fourthly, the power of zoning. There was involved in there what we would call grassroots participation, and secondly, it would provide local control, which when you put the two together would be exercising self-determination.
While Native people make up three-fourths of the North Slope resident population now, that could change. Part of the success of the North Slope borough comes from oil revenues. With the decline of oil production, the borough could be headed for tougher times. It is likely that many types of governments will be tried in different places according to perceived needs of each community. Browning Pipestem.
There are some people who believe that any exercise of any authority by a tribal government is illegitimate. Well, I'll tell you now, those people are wrong. How do we dignify and legitimize tribal government? And the answer to that is simple. Know what it is and exercise its authorities. That is the beauty of what was left here for you as a people. It is something that is uniquely a part of you, that has uniquely been a part of the law of the United States, that Indian tribes are people who have the power to make laws and to be governed by them.
Alaska Natives are now asking Congress to facilitate transfer of corporation lands to Native governments. Local people can then choose the most appropriate government and corporation options. Reggie Jewell of Kotzebue.
The issue of land and sovereignty and regional corporations and village corporations continues to come up. While we debate these things and work out the differences, we've got to be very, very careful not to confuse those who will be taking over after our time is up, because we wouldn't want them, I don't think, to have to choose what kind of native they should be, whether it's a corporate native, an IRA native. The important thing is that we are natives. The bottom line being that we really try to work together for the future of our children.
The tribal movement in Alaska is gaining momentum. That trend is likely to continue if Native governments are seen as successful. The state is working with tribal governments without official recognition and continue to distribute services and funds for Natives and non-Natives through 55 tribal governments. At least 7 other states contract with tribal governments for services, and several others recognize tribal governments officially. Recent land claim settlements in other parts of the world have granted broader political controls to land, subsistence, and sovereignty. Alaskans are looking at these latest developments as they work to establish more tribal authority and amend the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. In upcoming programs, we will look at settlements in other countries and the changes that Alaska Natives will ask Congress to make. In our next program, we examine the dilemma of new Natives, those born after the Claims Act, who have no direct part in the settlement. Please join us for Holding Our Ground. This is Adeline Raybaugh. This program is produced by Jim Sykes, written by Bill Dubay and Sue Burris, edited by Sue Burris, and researched by Frankie Burris. Special thanks to the community of Gamble for dancing, singing, and drumming, and also to the Inuit Circumpolar Conference. For more information about this and other programs in this series, write to Western Media Concepts, P.O. Box 215, Anchorage, Alaska, 99510. Holding Our Ground is a production of Western Media Concepts, which is solely responsible for the content.
Funding for Holding Our Ground is provided by the Alaska Humanities Forum, the National Endowment for the Humanities, Rural Alaska Community Action Program, the North Slope Borough, and Zients Pertl Law Firm.